Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
This is New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Fentanyl, the curse of American people. Fentanyl. It is an artificial concoction, I'm told, of a work of a crude chemistry labs with precursors said to originate in the People's Republic of China with gangs. It is far-fetched to imagine those gangs are unavailable or unsurveilled or unrelated to the Chinese Communist Party. But there it is, the claim that the gangs are shipping precursors to Mexico. And in Mexico, the cartels, especially single-man or double-man combinations in kitchens, are cooking up fentanyl. And then it passes into the United States, where it leads to tens of thousands of deaths and beyond deaths, to crippling, to undermining, to wrecking communities all across America, but especially small towns. I'm told fentanyl was part of the conversation at APEC between the President of the United States and the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. The headlines coming out indicated that there was positive development, such as USA Today. Biden and Xi agree to curb fentanyl production, resume military talks at San Francisco summit. I'll start there because the president of Mexico will be part of this conversation eventually. But first, we begin with the important one. Mr. Biden represents a country that's vulnerable profoundly to fentanyl poisoning. Mr. Xi represents a country that is understood to be the beginning of the poison. Professor, your measure of the fentanyl problem. China has certainly the surveillance state and the state security to make it go away, and has not. Is there more likelihood now in your measure, in the measure of the professionals witnessing APEC? Good evening again.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I think there certainly will be a modest increase in cooperation, and this will evolve. When I was on Secretary Mike Pompeo's policy planning staff back in 2019-2020, again, this was something that we, especially INL, worked with the Chinese, and we saw moderate progress, although the Chinese repeatedly like to drag their feet. Just a little bit of background on the fentanyl challenge. Even before fentanyl, this goes back to the massive, essentially, pharmaceutical industry that you have in China. Much of it much underregulated. And so even before fentanyl, back in the days when the predecessors of today's Sinaloa cartel were reaching out, trying to not only sell their cocaine to China, but trying to import precursors for other substances, for methamphetamine, something called ephedrine and pseudoephedrine, they actually made contact with Chinese triad organizations, 14K and Sun Yong, among others, to bring that in. Now, fentanyl kind of exploded on the scene a couple of years ago, but initially fentanyl was coming direct from China, mailed by the U.S. Postal Service into the United States. Now, when we, U.S. government, put pressure on the Chinese to try to do something about that, they reluctantly cooperated and brought some of that under control. That pushed a lot of that production using fentanyl precursors into into Mexico, where those groups that long had those ties. Basically, those groups operating out of the thousands of pharmaceutical companies in Wuhan, China, would essentially sell them to the Sinaloa cartel in Jalisco Nueva Generacion. They would then turn that into pill presses in Mexico, basically putting them together and smuggling them across the U.S. border. And so it's a triangular problem. It's China regulating their large decentralized pharmaceutical industry. It's Mexico trying to control this that involves importing from China and then sending into the United States. And so I think there's a little bit of progress on all of those fronts. And so we have to recall that Mexico and, of course, the United States are both Pacific nations as well as China. And so it was at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Leadership Summit, which we hosted this year in San Francisco, that all these leaders came together. And so there was a sidebar with President Biden and Xi. There was a sidebar between AMLO and President Biden. There was a sidebar between AMLO and President Xi, which was their first meeting. And so you got a little bit of the talk of fentanyl on all of those angles. So as I understand it, there may have been some talk between AMLO and Xi to try to control it there, some commitment to, by Xi to try to regulate the companies that produce fentanyl in Wuhan, maybe a little bit more. They talked about helping to control, but we'll see how far the Chinese go. I think they'll go a little ways. And then some talk about AMLO and the President Biden maybe working together more, at least AMLO recognizing what a problem it is, although there are no formal agreements between Biden and AMLO. So I think we're moving forward, although, again, with at least 70,000 people killed by fentanyl, over 100,000 people killed in drug overdoses last year in the U.S. alone, it is a massive problem that I think we will continue to be working in the years to come.
The cocaine curse of the 20th century, one way it was dealt with was that the U.S. moved operations into South America, especially Colombia, is my memory. And that is not credible. That's not going to happen with China. We're not going to send the DEA in helicopters into Shanghai's neighborhoods. We entirely depend upon the Chinese. I just mention that because I'm told by other voices that there's no motive for it to change given the income that China enjoys. So let's move to another conversation that turned on fentanyl diplomacy. That was between General Secretary Xi and the President of Mexico. This from Mexico Daily News in English. President Lopez Obrador and Chinese President Xi Jinping committed to strengthening bilateral ties between Mexico and China during a meeting in San Francisco, at which Mexico's leader also raised the thorny issue of fentanyl trafficking. Now, this conversation can move the story because I believe AMLO has it in his power to stop that chain in some fashion from China. Certainly, he can strengthen border security because it's coming in by ships, as I'm told. The other part of this conversation has to do with nearshoring or friendshoring. The presumption has been that the supply chain needs to diversify, and one place is Mexico. That, of course, may or may not discomfort China. China's economy is no longer a miracle. It's profoundly troubled. So the AMLO and Xi have a great deal to talk about. Is fentanyl a priority for them? Is nearshoring a priority? How do you see this conversation?
What's interesting, John, first of all, of course, this was the first meeting between AMLO, who notably does not like to travel abroad, except occasionally to the United States, and Xi Jinping. Mexico, as you know, also is traditionally, although there are a lot of Chinese companies investing there, has looked at China as a competitor, because in manufacturers and things like that, oftentimes the Chinese products were displacing the Mexican products. And AMLO coming to power as kind of an old Chicago machine boss style politician reflects some of those things. Having said that, I think with this meeting, and certainly fentanyl was one of the things on the table. We can remember previously AMLO had sent an open letter, a very public letter to Xi saying, please help us with fentanyl, to which Xi basically, the Chinese wrote back saying, well, we're not aware of any fentanyl problem coming in through Mexico. And so there's been a reality problem from the very, very beginning. Also recognizing that AMLO, as you noted before, has been reluctant to cooperate that closely with the U.S. With the 2020 national security law, limited the ability of the DEA and others to cooperate on fentanyl and other issues. But with respect to things beyond fentanyl with AMLO and Xi, specifically, yeah, this is one of the ironies that as we move towards this world of decoupling with, U.S. attempts to resist the degree to which in areas like semiconductors and other technology, the Chinese essentially gain the upper hand in ways that give them strategic advantage and undercut Western industries. You're seeing that a recognition that companies increasingly do not want to be in China because they fear that they're going to not only run into problems in China, but also lose access to the U.S. market. And so this has made a big push to nearshoring, of which Mexico, with its privileged access to the U.S. market through USMCA, has been the primary beneficiary, even though Mexico is doing just about everything possible to make it undesirable to locate in Mexico. Their energy costs are high. The regulatory environment is uncertain. There's relatively high level levels of insecurity in certain places, et cetera, et cetera. But despite all of those things, you've seen that this big nearshoring push, big companies like Tesla looking to invest in Mexico, it's been a big push to the Mexican economy. But part of that has actually been that Chinese companies who do not want to be shut out of access to the U.S. market because they're seen as Chinese are actually relocating operations to Mexico, especially in the north, in places like Nuevo León, where the Chinese have been the biggest investors in Mexican warehousing and distribution and patio space there. And so probably one of the big things that AMLO and Xi were talking about is what they referred to as secure supply chains, which is basically AMLO trying to get the Chinese to continue to invest in Mexico and invest in those production and manufacturing operations. And frankly, there's some other areas where the Chinese are involved that are very important for the Mexican economy as well. The Chinese have a big role in AMLO's signature project, Tren Maya in the south, through a company called CCCC. They have a big presence in the port sector and in seven different operations in Mexico. They have a big presence in the automotive sector with Chery and BYD and I believe SAIC. And they have an increasing presence in the clean energy sector and also the lithium sector, where Chinese companies recently, specifically Ganfeng, got on the bad side of the Mexican government when they basically canceled nine licenses for doing lithium operations. And so there's actually a whole lot going on in terms of the Chinese investment position in Mexico, both for the good or bad. But certainly AMLO, probably when he talked to Xi, wanted to encourage more Chinese investment. And probably there was some desire to deal with some of those sources of tension, like the question of Bacanora and lithium being denied those nine licenses by the Mexican government. So probably a lot to talk about in this first conversation between AMLO and Xi that indirectly involves the access to the U.S. market as one of the key drivers.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.